Good evening. Welcome to the house of the Lord. For those listening online, I am Pastor Jason Seward, and I'm filling in for Pastor Rick this evening. Many of us have heard of the three R's of education. They used to be reading, writing, and arithmetic. Nowadays, can you punch on a little tablet, and can you watch a YouTube video? But there are another three R's that are more important than the three R's of education. They are the three R's of God. First is running to God. Second is running away from God or rebelling and fighting with God as such. And the third is running in the circle of death. The last time I was here, we covered running away from God, rebelling and fighting with God. Tonight, we will look at running in the circle of death. My father used to put a .22 short in his Winchester single-shot rifle, and he would walk out into the woods, and he'd kick a couple of bushes until a rabbit would jump out. He'd just stand still, just stand there and wait. Rabbit would take off running through the woods, and all of a sudden he'd realize there's no danger. And so he would circle on around where he was happy, back to his bush. And within 15 minutes, my father would bring home supper to us. He had made the circle of death. Tonight, we will be studying the sower and God's word. We will be in Luke's Gospel, chapter 8. Beginning ones will be verses 5 through 8. So a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up and yielded a crop 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried, "He who has ears, let him hear." That is kind of hard sometimes for some of us to understand. That's why it's so wonderful when Jesus takes the time to explain his parables, which brings us to our verses tonight that we will be in. And those are in 8, verses 11 through 15, which is a little bit easier for me to understand. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while and in time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word, with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. The very first verse, 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The word of God communicated in any matter from preaching or reading of the scriptures in the Bible. That is the seed that is planted in our minds. It is what we have to take to our hearts with time. Verse 12, though, we get a little harder. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear, then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Pastor Rick has continually reminded us that we are born in this world as sinners. We don't sin. We are not sinners because we sin. We are sinners. That's the thing. We have come to this world as sinners. 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 10 elaborate a little bit more on that. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Jesus used the wayside to describe man's heart. For those who are living in sin, their heart is very hard. There's no way that anything can penetrate it. They have darkness in there, and they have evilness. Many people love it. They don't want to get rid of it. Their heart is an open road to everything that is unrighteous. Anything that comes along, they are ready for it. Many times they don't realize where they have gone in their minds and in their hearts because it is so black. It is because they love sin. There are many people, that's all they want to do is live in their sin. They love it so much. When God, the word of God comes to those people, it goes in one ear and out the other. That's nothing new. Many of us, we hear the right words and then we just forget it because it wasn't there to begin with. We have reflected it. Our hearts, the hearts of a sinner sometimes are so hard, the words just go back towards who have. They bounce back towards the person who shares it with them. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil, for out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. And we can tell this about people, what kind of heart they have. Many times when you're in the church, people will say nice things and they watch their words. And that's nice because that's what we like to see all the time. But when they get out and they get with their friends, their family members, those who are not Christians, those who do not go to church, how do they act then? What do they say then? That tells you more about that person than you'll ever understand. It's one thing to be with your family and as they use words that you don't, you refrain from it and you may want to actually encourage them not to use them. But if you're there and you're using the same words, you're not the same person. You are double-tongued, so to speak. You have the words for God in his house, and then you have the words of the world, and you're sharing them with them. You're saying it's okay. In Zechariah chapter 7, verses 11 through 12, but they refused to heed, shrugged their shoulders, stopped their ears so they could not hear. Yes, they made their hearts like flint, refusing to hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent by his spirit through the former prophets. Thus great wrath came from the Lord of hosts. People love their sin so much, they don't want to hear about God. They don't want anything to change them. They will turn away from you. They don't want to. They will cut you off and tell you, don't say anymore. I don't want to hear it. They love their sin, and I understand that. They have been brought up in their sin so long, it is life. Why would they want to change? They enjoy it. There is no feeling of shame or regret or anything. For them, living in sin is the daily life. They can go out and do whatever they want, when they want, with whom they want, and they don't care. They don't care about anybody or anything but themselves. It is sin that they love. They have no fear of heaven and hell. They don't care what happens tomorrow. It's about today. Let me have my joy today. Let me have what I want today. I love my sin. I want more. And that's what we see too often. They do not believe in God. And therefore, they do not believe in sin. If you do not believe in something that doesn't exist, I think is what they believe. But I know there's a God. And I believe in him. Psalm 53, verses 1 through 3. For the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt and have done abominable iniquity. There is none who does good. God looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. Every one of them has turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good. No, not one. The key is, if you don't believe in sin, then it doesn't exist. I mean, after all, where did sin come from? First place it was recorded was in the Bible. And if you don't believe in God and you don't believe in the Bible, there is no sin. After all, why did God give Moses the Ten Commandments? Why did he give him all those statutes and precepts? It's because man at that time thought anything goes. He didn't understand that sin was around him, that he was living in sin. He thought, it's all good. If my mind comes up with it, I can do it. And we see that today. Lots of people want to do away with the Bible. They want to do away with the churches. They don't want anything to come out that says that they're living in sin. After all, they love their sin, and I don't want you to interfere with my sin. That's what they feel. I am a sinner, and I love it. That's what they feel. But in Romans chapter 1, verses 28-32, Paul writes quite a bit here. Bear with me. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. And that's one of the things. Those who live in sin, they seek other people out for sin. And many times they seek out young people who do not know the difference and try to lead them astray. They try to lie to them, say, well, this is okay, because they assume that young person doesn't know what sin is. And they are out there and they are looking for them. And they will do their best to take them away from God. We keep seeing the world change the words for sin. They make them soft. If it's soft, I don't feel guilty. If it is soft and it doesn't point out who I am and what I am, nobody cares. Sexual immorality and sexual perversion are winked at, since they say that it's about love. If you put love by anything, then it has to be good. After all, it's about love. People who live in sin and refuse God's word and refer you to turn from living in sin are like the rabbit. They just want to go in a circle. Don't interrupt me. Don't take me away. They start life in sin. They live in sin. They love in sin, are comfortable in sin, and they die in that sin. They never change. It's a circle. It is just one large circle. There is no concern about tomorrow, for it is about today and my pleasure today. There is no thought of the future other than now. Where is my next conquest? Is it tonight? Is it tomorrow? Next week? How do I plan it? How do I plot it? Many people spend time, much more time than you realize, planning their sinful life. How and where? Because they are full of it. And you say, well, that sounds harsh. It is the truth. If you want to see it, we can go outside and take you downtown and show you lots of it. Or go out here in Mechanicsville. It's walking all around beside you. Every time you go into Walmart or a grocery store, there are people in there, and their mind is on sin. It's not on anything else. I'm here for a moment, but where am I going next? And I make it sound terrible, but it is terrible when you are living in sin, when you are full of sin, and the only thing you want is sin. That is terrible. God will judge. God will judge. To speak of death just means the stopping of the body. To them, they don't think about anything else. There's no tomorrow. But Isaiah described it pretty well. Isaiah chapter 22, verse 13. But instead, joy and gladness, slaying oxen and killing sheep, eating meat and drinking wine. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. No care. It's all about now. It's about today. What can I do today? I've got to go away, so I'll have fun. Let me find the fun places while I'm gone. It's about now. It's not about tomorrow. I don't care about that. I don't need to plan a future. I don't care. That is one of the problems that they have. They don't care about themselves, and they don't care about anybody else. If you tell them they're going to hell, they laugh and tell you that all their friends will be there. And they're right. All those who are living in sin will be there with them. They don't want to hear about hell. After all, they don't believe in eternity. They don't believe in God. And if you don't believe in it, it don't exist. It's like putting your hands up in front of the eyes of a child and they play peekaboo with you. You're not there when they got their hands in front of their eyes. They don't believe. They don't see. From birth as a sinner to a life in sin to death in a sin. The rabbit, he ran from the bush because of fear. Something scared him. They have no fear. There's nothing out there that they're scared of. Luke chapter 23, verses 39 to 43. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus said to him, "Assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. One criminal stayed in the circle of death. He died, and that was it. He went to Sheol. Well, at that time, but then, yeah, Sheol. And the other one, he got out. He didn't make that circle back to death and eternal damnation. He went to be with the Lord. He made the choice. God does not force people to accept Christ and turn from their life of sin. We are given that opportunity. One criminal here, he took that opportunity. The other one did not. We make that choice. Everybody has that choice. It comes across. We see things out here every day. You see a cross. You can't go down a road without seeing a cross. You cannot go on TV and see something about God. You see it everywhere. You go to motels. There are Bibles there if you want to read them. People have the opportunity to make that choice, but too many of them say, no, I do not want to. I want to live in my sin. Sometimes we make poor choices about who our friends are. Sometimes we make poor choices about where we live, and therefore we are held to our sin because we cannot get out, because that is where we stay. We do not try to get away. Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 2. Son of man, you dwell in the midst of a rebellious house, which has eyes to see but does not see, ears to hear but does not hear. For they are a rebellious house. And if you can go to places where sin is, that's what you're going to be in the middle of. If all you do is go to the places that attract those who are going for sin, you will be there. Those who live in sin and love the sin continue to look for others who want to sin with them. The second part of that verse deals with Satan. It doesn't matter what you call him. Lucifer, the devil, it doesn't matter. He's the same. The devil is real and he is alive. And he is out here with you and I. He attacks us. When the gospel is preached to people hardened in sin and are resistant to it, Satan comes and takes the words away. He has the ability to quickly, and I have a hard time sometimes understanding this, he can in a moment's time take away what you hear about God. He can fill your mind with trash. The devil makes various suggestions and temptations, sending in thoughts, presenting objects, and divert our minds from the word. He can take you away right now in this room. It's interesting that you can be listening to the teachings and all of a sudden something comes in your mind that does not belong there. And you're like, I'm in the church. There is no limitation to Satan. His attack is everywhere and anywhere. I guess I had a hard time understanding that once you became a Christian that Satan could attack you all the time, and that it is he who at this point putting things in your mind. Even though you're walking with the Lord every day, even though you're as close to him as you can get, Satan is still attacking us. He is still trying to drag us away. Even though we walk with the Lord all the time, Satan has the ability to attack us. How do we fight back? By calling on God the Father to rebuke Satan. We do not speak to Satan. You ask God to. He can rebuke him. We are to have no communication. Also, by not letting our minds wander to the things they don't belong, not going and seeing things that you're not supposed to. If you see something that you shouldn't, you need to turn away. I keep encouraging the young men, when you see a lady bend over, you need to look away. You need to be focused on other things, but the world doesn't care. They keep saying, more. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 through 9, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. And it is true, Satan tries to take away what you hear each Sunday or any time you hear the word of God. He tries to remove it. He wants you not to know what's going on. In John's gospel, we read of Satan entering Judas while at the table with Jesus. You know, you would think if Jesus is there that Satan would not come in the room. But in John's gospel, chapter 13, verse 27, now after the piece of bread, Satan entered him. Then Jesus said to him, what you do, do quickly. I still find it amazing. He is not limited to where and when he can attack us. For those who are living in sin, he is in constant control 24/7 of their life, all the time. The devil has one mission, and that is to steal away all people from God, to keep us from going and listening to the word and obeying God. Luke chapter 22, verse 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. He sifts all of us. It doesn't matter if you're just a little child, 5 years old, he is sifting them. He will sift them, and they never know that they're what they're doing wrong. But Satan doesn't care. He attacks us all. Whether you're 5 or 95, he is still trying to attack you. He's still trying to lead you away. Living in sin, there are many who will not come away. They will die in their sin just as they were born in sin and lived in sin. But let's go to verse 13 now. Luke chapter 8, verse 13. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. Now, these are different from the ones in verse 12, because the ones in verse 12, they, by accident, may have had the word come by them, you know, accidental hearers. But not these. These I have understanding. They have read the word. They have heard the word. Some may have heard the gospel from a friend. Someone may have invited them to a church. They may have heard a radio station with a preaching on it and listened, or a TV station, and stopped. They may have picked up a Bible by accident and read it. So they're not dumb. They're not bent on sin. They do hear the word. They're not careless and negligent. But they have an understanding of what they hear. Oftentimes, they are drawn to the word by circumstances. Anxiety, fear, or a conviction of sin causes them to seek out the Lord. Psalm 106, 12 through 14. Then they believed his words. They sang his praise. They soon forgot his works. They did not wait for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tested God in the desert. These who fell on the rocks, they hear the word and they make a profound faith, profession of faith, showing some outward expressions of pleasure, the joy of accepting the Lord. And they are very glad to hear a good sermon, but it doesn't mean anything because it goes in one ear, out the other. They can hear it. You ask them, what'd you hear? Huh? They don't know. Did you hear anything about the Lord? Yeah. Did you? They may be pleased with the word, but yet they're not committed to it. There is no root in Jesus and the word of God. They may have said the prayer, but they did not mean it. They have problems. They are not true Christians. They have no knowledge of their own sin because they don't want to admit it. It's there. They don't want to give it up. They want to keep it. There is joy, as there is in repentance, and soon their joy subsides and the evil takes back over. They leave because all of a sudden they realize, as you teach the word of God, they're not living right, and they can't live right because the word of God doesn't let them do what they want to do. And so they leave. Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 31, 32. So they come to you as people do. They sit before you as my people. They hear your words, but they do not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. Indeed, you are to them a very lovely song, the one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear your words, but they do not do them. And that's the thing. There is no strength. They hear the word, and there's nothing else but hearing the word. They have joy for a while. They keep resisting Jesus. Jesus will give them what they need to resist temptation, but they refuse it. There's no real love for the Savior, and in times of trial and persecution, they will fail. They will fall back to the old ways. Their heart is not changed. It is not broken by the word. They do not let God in. They still go back to where they were. They have no true sense of sin and the repentance for it. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Many people are very shallow in their walk and relationship with God. They are very fragile. They can break very easily. They have no true faith in Christ. And as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 2, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." And that is the problem. Many people will say, "Yes, I hear you. I love the Lord," but it's all in vain because they don't truly mean it. They have it for a while, but they let it go. They love the word of the Lord, and they find joy in it. But they have some beloved sin that they will not give to the Lord. They cannot let go. When they realize that this is not me, they have to leave. They love their sin too much. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 7, "You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth?" And it gets back, who hinders us in a lot of things. It could be a loved one. It could be a friend that is living in deliberate sin. And when we discuss that you cannot do those things because of sin, they have to make a choice. Do they go away and stay with their friend and say it's okay? Or do they stay here and say, "No, you can't do that anymore"? It's hard for them. They have to make the decision. Do they believe God, or do they accept what their friends are doing? They cannot accept the truth of God's word about sin, so they find another church that says it's okay. There are churches out there who say that homosexual lifestyle is okay. Come on here. We want you to live here. And so that's where those people go. They say, "Oh, that church will say okay to anything, and we'll go there." They don't care that the truth of God's word is not preached. They don't care about anything but hearing what they want to hear. It's what so many people go to church for. Don't tell me anything but what I want to hear. If you tell me that I'm living in sin, I don't want to hear it. Don't tell me that my son is living in sin. I don't want to hear it. Tell me about somebody else. It's very easy to go to a church and hear about all the people out there who are sinning. Well, let's talk about us on the inside. Where are we? What are we doing? Well, that's when it gets hard. Quite often, they just stop going to church. They turn away from God. They cannot accept God's word since it goes against the desires of the world. In John's Gospel, chapter 6, we read of the followers who, they wanted Jesus to continue to give them food, do miracles, and do the things they liked. But he wanted to give them something else. He wanted to give them his life for theirs. They didn't want to hear about his blood, the bread of life. They didn't want to hear about that. They wanted handouts. John chapter 6, verse 66. "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more," because they didn't get what they wanted. They wanted this, and he wanted to give them something else, eternal life. They didn't want that. They wanted freebies. They wanted a show. They wanted something other than the truth of Christ. People have an expectation of God's word and demand it. And when they do not get it, they leave. They go somewhere else where they hear what they want. 1 John chapter 2, verse 19. "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us." That one is a hard one sometimes for us to realize, that so many people leave and we think they're right here with us. There was a young person who just sat down on the front row here on Sundays and Wednesdays, went to camp, did clean, did all these things, and just, you just knew they were in love with the Lord. And then they moved away. They did not find a church to get plugged into, and the world called to them. And they got married to a person who was not a Christian. And things didn't go good. They did not find a church. And shortly after that, they got divorced. They went further and further away from God. In Galatians, it says, "O foolish Galatians," Galatians 3, 1 through 3, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ is clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now being made perfect in the flesh?" And the reason I read that is because last year word came back to me that that person had made a statement, "I am not a Christian anymore." This person had been baptized. This person had says, "I accept Christ as my Lord and Savior." And now they're saying, "I am not a Christian." How can you say that? It's because you aren't. You have turned away. They didn't say, I have fallen, I need you to pray for me, help me get back. They didn't ask for help. They just declared, I would rather live in sin than to walk with the Lord. When I saw this person the last years ago, I believe that they were committed to the Lord. I believe that every time I saw them, they would be in the prayer meeting down here that the young people would have on Sunday mornings after service. There would be several of them there, and they'd be praying. And this person was there too. And now today, they say, I am not a Christian. We have to accept the fact that when people tell us they're Christians, that they are. For only God knows the truth of their heart and what goes on. That person came into this world a sinner, came to be with the Lord for a while, and turned around and made the circle back to death. People may actually turn completely against Jesus, and it's a hard one. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 to 22. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them, according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow, having washed to her wallowing in the mire. They make the circle of death. And then in this case, some people do. They reject God. They say, I don't want you no more. I don't want Jesus. And what are they doing? They're going back and saying, I agree with those who wanted Jesus Christ crucified. They are going back and saying, I don't believe him. I don't want him. They're crossing a line that will separate them forever. And the bad thing is, the devil has a victory. There's another one he has pulled away from God. Why? Was it because they could not find God? They did not look for him? Or they just wanted to stay away? There's no real answer. This results in death and separation from God, which is eternal damnation. People don't think about that. Not long ago, as I was teaching in the youth camp, I happened to read about the hell and heaven, how big heaven is, the mansions, how big it is. But hell is designed for every person born. So there's a size to hell that we can't even fantasize at this time. Every person born has a spot in hell unless they accept Christ. And we don't think about those things. It's like, okay, there is no room. They'll never say there's no room in hell. There's always plenty of room. But let's move on to verse 14 now. Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. Like the verse 13, these people, they hear the word, and they accept Christ as Lord and Savior. But they will in time not mature or grow in the Lord, and they will still be in their life of sin. They hear the word in a superficial way. They hear what they want to hear. The word of God can never change anybody if you don't let him into your heart. The Holy Spirit cannot clean the heart out. It cannot get out the wickedness if you do not let him in. If you're holding on to certain things, and it doesn't matter what it is, God cannot clear it out. Many people appear outward to be genuine Christians, but in time their love for Christ is choked out. The cares of this world and the delights of riches. They have to choose between the Lord and their flesh. And that's a hard decision for some people. Some, it's real simple. I'll take the Lord. And for others, it is, if I take the Lord, I've got to give up this, I've got to give up that. I don't think so. It's not worth it. We separate ourselves from God by allowing anything or any person to come between God and us. Amos has nailed it. Amos chapter 3, verse 3. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? And it's very hard to walk with somebody unless you are in agreement with them, because you either walk away in the opposite directions or you walk into each other. And it's one of the things about God. Are you in agreement with him or are you walking away? We are walking with the Lord when we are not thinking about other things. When we let things come into our mind that overpower us, we walk away from God. We're not in agreement with him. We're walking in our own abilities. Some feel that God is long-suffering, that he can wait. He can wait. I've got things I got to do. I need to finish what I'm doing today. I need to finish this. He'll wait. He's long-suffering. But what they have done is they're walking away from God. They are making decisions for themselves. I don't need him. I need these other things. When we're not in agreement with God, we're not walking with him. They are interested in the messages of Jesus. They love some of the sermons, but cannot accept it because of their devotion to material things. Material things is so hard for us to understand. So many of us love this, that, and the other, and we want it, and we need it, and we have to have it. Life's worries, riches, and pleasures. Those are three things that will tear a man up. I worked for a telephone company for a long time, and there were several things that you were not to mess with, and that was the copper, the coins, and the ladies. They had a rule there. You don't do this, because they knew what was valuable to them. And that goes back to this, the worries, riches, and pleasures. They prove to be that they are not genuine believers by their failure to continue with the Lord. They walk away. They don't continue. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. And so many people, as they get involved in their life, they say, I don't have time for this. I got to go. The cares, the riches, and pleasures of life take control, and the world is smothered out. I don't have time. I got too much on my mind. How many hours a day can I spend on this? They do not continue with the Lord because they don't have time. Yes, they may have said the right words. They may have accepted Christ. They may have said in their heart, I'm going to be a Christian. I'm going to walk with the Lord. But as time goes on, that heart is overgrown. What are the things that draw us away from God? Cares of life are those things that keep you so busy that you no longer have time for the things of the Spirit. It is those things that is trying to survive from one day to the next. It is trying to be able to survive. In the old days, people would cut wood and try to stay warm. In the summer times, they were fanning and trying to keep cool and things of that nature. They didn't have time for anything else. Today, we have time for everything. We have all the power in the world to run out of electrics, and therefore, we don't have to worry about anything, whatever we want to do. We have time to do anything. Is your heart filled to capacity with everything but the Lord? And a lot of people it is. I have a friend some years ago. She has a daughter who's in her mid-40s now. When she was born mute and deaf. And the lower part of her body, she was paralyzed. And at that time, the state that she lived in said, look, this child is, you'll never be able to do anything. This child, you need to turn her over to us. The state will take care of her. And they said, no, we'll take her home. And they did. And the girl, she can do lots of things. But one time the mother says, you know, I tried that church thing. It didn't work. I'm not sure what she meant by that. Was she looking for God to do an instant fix? What was she looking for? She didn't give God time to help her walk daily. And that is what we have to do, is look to God to give us the ability to go through these struggles. Each day is not easy. All of us has something that's tearing at us, that's trying to get us to go away. But for some, they never go to God because he gives us what we need. It's not a fix. It is life. It is the joy of walking with the Lord. He gives us strength. John chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Had this person stayed and accepted Christ, he would have given them what they needed to go through life, to deal with the things. He gives us the ability to deal with all the things that are around us, that are hitting at us, coming at us at the wrong times. He can and he will carry us through life. Problem is, too many people say, no, I can do it on my own. Worldly cares hinder us from profiting by the word of God. Our walk with God suffers. They consume everything and leave nothing for our soul. There's no room for the soul if you've got it filled up with the world, with the daily concerns. Jesus said it in Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 to 34. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Jesus Christ will give us all we need to make it through one day to the next, but many people don't see that. They don't want to hear that Jesus is the answer, that he has what you need. No matter what you're going through, call out to the Lord. He will answer you. He will bring calmness to you. Sometimes it may take a while, but he is there listening. He never abandons us. But too many people want to abandon him. They want a quick fix, and they cannot understand that God is the answer, but he is not the answer that they are looking for. They want him to fix it. They want them to do what they demand. The deceitfulness of riches. People become very sensitive when we speak of the effects of money, because that's something that, yes, we all need that, because we need to be able to live and take care of ourselves. But we're speaking about the worldly riches and the deceitfulness of them. Many people think that if you get rich, you will be the happiest person in town, you'll have all joy, and it's not true, because usually at that point, you're trying to make more money. You want more, you want more, you want more time, there's not enough time to get it all done. And therefore, the riches often lead people away from God. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 10. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many arrows. And it's very interesting, because of our greed, our desires, our wants, we separate. We kill what we have been given. The seeds among the thorns went further than the former ones, because they had taken root in the word. Prosperity can destroy the word in the heart as much as persecution does. And it's more dangerous because it is silent. You don't know what's going on. All of a sudden, it is overtaking you, and you don't realize what is going on with your life. Lots of people don't understand. 2005, I went to a men's conference in Lynchburg. Saturday night, the guest speaker flew home, and the worship team for the church, they went back to that church. And Sunday morning, we had a guy with a guitar lead us in worship, and then we had the pastor from Fredericksburg. He delivered the teaching. And he was using 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 19 through 21. So he departed from there and found Elijah, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Please let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." And he said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" So Elijah turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and boiled their flesh using the oxen's equipment, gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. I got more out of that teaching on that Sunday morning than I had the previous 2 days, because it was something that I didn't understand. How in the world would you give up your heritage? How in the world would you give up what you have already, your profession? How would you give up this land that you have? I didn't understand that. I didn't understand that if you are committed to God, nothing else compares. Eternity with God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus is forever, and it is more important than dirt, than all these other things. It's hard, you know, how, when you're working so hard, how to see that. And that's what the problem is. Too many people don't see that this is just for a time. It's all going to pass away. It's not going to be here long. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 19. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Possessions and wealth are to be enjoyed, as he said, not to be worshipped. And we are to take what we have and share. It's not that we're supposed to take every penny of it, but we're supposed to share what we have. And many of us don't want to do that. We want it all for ourselves, and that's the problem we have when we start getting tied up into our professions where we have to push on. And that's where the deceitfulness of riches will get us. But now let's take a look at pleasures of life, something that so many of us may not really understand. People may not be consumed with the cares of the world. They may not be consumed with the riches. But the pleasures of life, they don't realize that that is separating them from God. That is taking them away. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. The lust of things, the riches, all things, pleasure of life. So many people want to seek these things. I'm unto it. I've got to go. I've got to do. They are the lust of the flesh, what I want, how I want. Lust of the eyes, what I want to see, what it does for me. Pride of life. There are so many people whose lives are killed by the walk of pleasure. They don't walk with the Lord. They rather have their pleasure. They can tell me, well, I'm only off one day a week. You know, I certainly don't want to be coming into a church and hear what the pastor has to say. I know God. He understands. He knows that I work hard, and I need my day, and I need my pleasure. I need to go ahead and be able to recoup and be ready to go to work on Monday. And that's true. We all need to recoup. But for some of us, the Lord's word is a way to recover each week. It's a way to come and to hear the truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 12 through 13. All things, Paul, this is a wonderful thing. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Foods for the stomach, and stomach for foods, but God will destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. He tells us right there that I can do anything, and that's true. I can go out and sin all I want. I have that ability. I don't want. It doesn't do anything for me. And so many people don't make that decision there. They say, I can, I will. And that's what cripples so many young people. They say, I can. I've turned 21. You know what I can do? I can go have a beer. Legal beer. And that's the way they classify. I'll go have my first legal drink. And you're like, okay. That's interesting. I had one who said, what are you going to do when you turn 21? I want to be a chaperone at camp. And I'm like, oh, well, that's kind of strange, but because you don't usually hear that. But so many people, I can and I will. And they love that fact. I have the ability. I make my decisions. You don't tell me what to do. God's not going to tell me what to do. No, he's not. He lets you make your decisions, and he lets you fail if that's what you want to do. Many of us may be kept from heaven because of our love and the ease of pleasure. Luke chapter 17, verses 26 through 30. And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be the day when the Son of Man is revealed. So many people don't understand. Yes, you can go. You can do whatever you want. There is a consequence to it. Jesus will return, and there will be those who will be happy and be glad. And there will be those who will be sorrowful because they realize they have messed up and they should have turned. Those that walk with the Lord look forward to that day of his return. Those who do not don't want to hear it. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in Jesus. They don't believe in sin. They don't believe in anything but what they can do. There are consequences for our actions and for our lack of actions. There is a consequence when we trade God for pleasures and possessions. The consequence is we separate God from us. They make the circle. They go from sin, outside the sin, back to sin. They make that choice. Back to the life before and back to death. The final death. Death without God is the consequence. And so many people don't understand that. We make that choice. We make the choice to live or die with God. He doesn't force us. Everyone in this room who has accepted Christ did it because they wanted to. Those who seek the Lord, they want to. Those who do not want to, they don't. We're going to move to verse 15. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Those fell on the good ground. Those are the ones that fell on the people whose heart was open. They're the ones who opened their heart up and said, come, clean me out. Remove the trash. Remove my sins. Help me, Lord, to turn around. They were willing to hear the truth of God's word. They wanted to know what God had to offer, which was his love, his grace, and his mercy. His grace, the salvation of eternal life. It is so hard for people to understand that. But those people opened their hearts. They changed. When you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you have to repent. You have to turn away from the past. You have to ask the Lord, lead me. Be my life. You don't turn around. These are the ones that he's talking about, the good ground. Having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. They understand John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The way for anyone to go to be with God. The criminal on the cross, he had a way. The other criminal chose not to take it. The way, it is so important. So many people don't understand. They're in their sin so far, so long, there's no way they think they can be forgiven. They can, but they don't know it. Sometimes nobody bothers to tell them that you can change and not do that. The truth of Christ is that we all have been redeemed. We don't have to do anything. All we have to do is accept what Jesus Christ has given us. They is so wonderful. Yes, Lord, I will take it. The life today and for eternity with God and Jesus Christ. What life is better? There is no sinful life that is better than the life of God and Jesus. They walk with the Lord daily. They will see the face of Jesus when they die. They will not see judgment. That is a wonderful thing. I want to leave you with this. The only thing that you and I can do for those running in the circle of death is pray. Pray and continue to pray. To give up on those running in the circle of death is to say that Christ died in vain and his death and resurrection is useless. That he wasted his time. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the words that you have given us that have been recorded so that we can refer to them on a regular basis. But most of all, Lord, we thank you for your grace, your love, and your mercy. We thank you for Jesus Christ who came to take away the sins of all those who will give them to him. We now ask, Lord, that you get us home safely. In Jesus' name, amen.